If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. And next up, I'm talking to two amazing women. We've got Tanya Blinkhorn and Jenny Malcolm in the studio talking to me today about stress reduction and emotional freedom techniques, aka EFT and tapping. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
So good to have you here. We've got somebody from Auckland, someone from Christchurch. For those of you that don't know Tanya and Jenny, Tanya is an evidence-based EFT practitioner with advanced training in trauma, weight management, and chronic pain. She is a Precure accredited health coach, a member of HCANZA, which is Health Coaches Association Australia and New Zealand, an NLP practitioner and trained therapeutic yoga teacher. And Tanya works in private practice and is based in Auckland, New Zealand, with clients worldwide online. Jenny is a clarity coach and accredited evidence-based EFT practitioner with a focused interest in collaborating with inspiring go-getters to reach their next level of potential. She's on a mission with her best friend and colleague, Tanya, to take EFT to the masses by creating an Australasian conference, podcast, and workshops. They have a vision of spreading awareness by everyday people using this powerful tool to reside in a state of calm. One-on-one deep work is immensely satisfying, and more people could be affected with this tool in their hands. And today we're going to talk about how to use it and how to do that. So until 5 years ago, Jenny was a successful farmer. And for 3 decades in Taranaki, Waikato, and North Otago, she certified as an NLP practitioner coach and professional coach before landing on the home base of the professional technique of EFT. Amazing. Jenny and Tanya, so good to have you both here today. I would love to hand the mic over to you as such. We'll start with you, Tanya. Can you let us know a little bit about your journey? How did you come to be someone that helps people through EFT?
Yes, thank you, Natalie. I think for me, there was a really clear moment. There was a moment when I was about 47, which is 10 years ago, one morning when the 3 children and my husband had all left for work and for school. And I found myself crying on the floor, feeling really low. And that wasn't like me at all. I'm usually the glass is half full and the other half was yummy kind of girl. And I just had these dark clouds. And it occurred to me in this moment for the first time, believe it or not, that this might be perimenopause. And in this moment, I thought, how do other women cope? How do women cope who are in a, you know, less stable relationship, financially not as secure, or whatever else might be going on in their life? And I decided there and then, weeping on the cold floor that morning, that I want to help women at this stage in life. And the irony of that struck me as well. And I didn't really know how to do that. And I decided that maybe as a coach I could. And when I started looking into what does that mean, how do I become a coach, I realized that it was a very, what's the word? It's not a, you know, I could hang a sign up my door and say I'm a coach. It wasn't a regulated, or it isn't a regulated profession in New Zealand yet. A friend of mine had become an NLP practitioner, and so I decided to start there. She said, do that first. A neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, and the training was in Raglan by a wonderful woman called Stephanie Phillips. And she is by far the best trainer in anything I've ever had. She was amazing. And this is where I met Jenny. And from there, I became a coach and then a Precure accredited health coach. Precure is an Auckland-based company. And they are amazing as well. And it was... Well, actually, Jenny sent me through an email. This is how it started. Jenny sent me through an email one day saying, Tanya, I've come across this modality, which looks a bit weird. And her title and her subject line in the email was, is this a bit woo-woo? And it was about EFT. And I looked into it. I said, leave it with me for a few days. I'll have a look into it. And I looked into it. And I went online to the founder of EFT's website and taught myself the basics. And then just thought, okay, well, how do I know that it's going to work? I might try it out And I tried it out on a physical issue first because I didn't want to open Pandora's box with anything too emotional. And that worked. And then I thought, oh, okay, let's find a little emotional issue. And my memory went, oh, this is what you need. Here you go. And gave me the perfect memory. And I tapped on it. And I'm not kidding you. Within maybe 6 minutes, it was like four rounds of tapping. It was a smallish issue. It was gone. And since then, I've been able to talk about it. And I emailed Jenny back saying, oh my goodness, yes, yes, yes. Let's train in that. And so we did. That was the beginning of our journey together with EFT.
I love how you took that into your own hands. You kind of looked up the website and you started to learn and then apply it to your own life. After we hear from Jenny, I would love to hear, if you can, on the radio, teach us some of those basics. We would love to hear about them. What about you, Jenny? What was your journey towards EFT?
Yeah, interesting. Thank you, Natalie. From the age of four, I wanted to be a farmer. And so I spent three decades focused on pushing through all the obstacles of a woman wanting to own her own farm. And the financial freedom, I think, was driving me, working with nature, all of those heartfelt aspects that drove me to become a farmer. With the qualifications that were required in order for a woman to borrow money from the rural bank at the time, you know, pushing her through all those obstacles. And then the really interesting thing was I got to my mid-40s, had the farm ownership with my then husband. We ended up going on this journey together and building this beautiful family home, and waking up the next morning after I'd moved into that family home with those dark clouds that Tanya talked about, and thinking, oh my goodness, this isn't how it was supposed to be. And realizing that I'd had happiness as a destination rather than as a everyday experience. And then set about for the next few years thinking, I've got so much more to offer. This isn't doing it for me anymore. And so started to look around and see, you know, I've got skills to offer. What are my skills? And everyone kept telling me that it's my questioning skills that are really powerful. And I recognized that, and coaching was the natural thing to fall into there. I'd already been a farm consultant and realized that I'd actually been coaching people rather than consulting them anyway. So I did the Tony Robbins thing, loved that, and found a credible qualification in a diploma of professional coaching, because if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it well so that I show up really well for my clients. And it just felt like it wasn't deep enough. It was bouncing on the surface. It wasn't getting into the behavior change, the emotional stuff, which was a bit of a surprise because I hadn't been an emotional girl up until then. And so went and trained as a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. And like Tanya said, that's where we met. That got down into the why we do what we do and how the mind and body work together. But it was actually an emotional eating problem is where I stumbled across EFT. So NLP had a little bit of behavior change for me, but not enough. And in desperation, one holiday, I was busy binging on chocolate and unable to stop. And I just went desperately online again looking for help, and came across this weird technique that a blonde chick was doing on a chocolate craving. And I couldn't believe how quickly it worked. I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, oh my God, I've just got to have this in my toolbox. So that's where Tanya and I went off and became trainers. And then it was interesting, as we were doing our training, we became accredited with EFT International. We realized that there was a really big research body behind EFT, 20 years of research, and that was really exciting. And we realized that much of the research was coming out of Bond University in Australia, just across the ditch. So we both agreed that we wanted to become really high standards evidence-based EFT practitioners. And so we both grandfathered across into the Australian organisation, which took a whole year. So we were already practitioners, but their standards are so high. Took a whole year to come across, and we're so pleased we are, because now we're on the next level of accreditation, advanced practitioner status, and that's allowing us to provide even more insight for our clients, as well as, of course, having done our own work, because you can't use this tool unless you've done your own work. It's just been life-changing.
Well, how many years did you do the farming for?
So I wanted to be a farmer since the age of four. I'd have to say 40 years.
But you did it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay, right. And then you were like, nah, it's not doing it for me anymore, which is good on you for changing direction, because it does take courage, right? Upping your brave to actually follow that inclination or that spark. Some people would just dim the spark and carry on. So good on you. And also good on you, ladies, for getting all of these accreditations and bringing it. That's what we're doing today. You talked about the woo. I love to bring the woo to the world. And I feel like today we're doing that a little bit more, making people aware of. Some people have heard of EFT. I'm sure many of my gorgeous listeners have heard that. They might not have known what it actually means. So let's start there. Jenny, I'll stay with you and I'll go back to Tanya in a moment. But Jenny, if you can verbally describe, because we're on audio here, what is EFT? Like, how does it work?
Okay, thank you. EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, otherwise known as tapping, is, in simple terms, it's a stress reduction technique. So it relies on, there's 8 points on the face and the torso, which have been shown in the clinic. So we're going to be describing clinical EFT here today, which is what all the research is based on. So there is a primovascular system running through our body. It's a physical system, and it's the acupressure points that we are pressing on, 8 in particular on the face and body, 1 on the side of the hand. And when we press on these points, what the fMRI scan trial show is that it calms the amygdala and the hippocampus, the memory system in the brain, calms it at the same time as you are bringing a problem into your mind. So the technique requires that you bring a problem into your mind at the same time as you tap on these specific known acupressure points, and take in a level of intensity of how uncomfortable the situation feels before you start, so that you've got a grasp on whether we're making any movement up or down. So, for example, you might start tapping on the side of the hand. This is where we would say a setup statement. So you would tap on the side of the hand, and let's just take an example. Even though I'm feeling a tension headache on the right side of my head, or you might just say, even though I've got this tension headache, I accept that that's the truth. So you're accepting that, and you only ever tell the truth. So even though I've got this tension headache, I accept that that's the truth. And then you would take a portion of that statement to keep the focus on the problem as you tap through the first, the next 8 points. So the first point is the thick part of the eyebrow. So I might invite your listeners to just feel into these places as I talk you through them. Thick part of the eyebrow, so sort of in the center of the face, and you can tap on both sides or one side. The research shows you have the same impact. The second point is on the side of the eye, and you would be reminding yourself of this tension headache as you tap on each of these points. The third point is under the eye, right up on the orbital bone.
So are we tapping or are we rubbing?
So you can rub or you can tap. Okay. It's the stimulation of that point that's sending the message to the brain to calm. Under the nose is the next point. And then you would go into the divot of the chin again, just focusing on that tension headache. Then you would come down to the collarbone. So feel those two bones in the center of your chest and tap just below them. And then the next point is under the arm. So it's sort of on the side of the rib cage, about 10 centimeters, 4 inches below the armpit. And then the last point is the top of the head, right in the center. And that is one round of EFT. And I think, Natalie, you're going to put instructions that we've sent you on how your listeners can actually do this for themselves. So you would stop at the end of one round and check in again and see how intense that problem is now on a scale of 0 to 10. And if it's still there, you would start again and do another round until what happens is the emotion in the problem just falls away. And you keep tapping until it falls away.
Okay, I'm going to try that because every month I have what I call a menopause headache, a perimenopause headache for 24 hours. And it's not good. It's not good. And I don't like to take Panadol or anything. So I'm very stubborn. And then it's not a good situation. So I'm going to try this next time. Can you just remind me about the statement? So the hand to start is in this, what I call a karate chop position. You're ready to do a karate chop and I'm tapping. And what statement would I make, even though I have this headache, I accept that this is true or something?
Yep, that right? Exactly. That's exactly what you would say. And then as you're saying that and repeat that three times as you're tapping on the side of the hand,
okay,
you're tuning in and noticing whereabouts it is. Like notice how you know. How you know you've got that tension here.
Yeah, it's like in my eyes.
Okay. So, and you might even say it's in my eyes. So the more specific you can be, the more likely you are going to tune in to that specific place and the quicker it will drop away.
Amazing. All right. So I hope that was helpful for our listeners as well with me asking about the headache. But for listeners thinking of some sort of injury or ailment that you've got, you can try this technique. We will be putting the instructions on the replay page. We will also be sharing your ladies' websites as well so people can have a little bit more instruction. Let's go to you, Tanya. I would love to hear from you about maybe another. So along the same lines, how have you seen the EFT technique work? You can answer this either for yourself or for one of your clients, keeping confidentiality in mind. Can you give us an example just so we can open our mind to what types of things is this helpful for?
Well, to answer your last question first, people have asked a slightly different question. What has it not worked for? And the answer is we haven't found anything yet. And I think the reason for that is because whenever a human has a problem, stress and cortisol is involved. And it doesn't matter if the problem is physical, emotional, financial, relationship problem, whatever problem it is, we are stressed when we have a problem. And this, as Jenny mentioned, has been shown in fMRI scans to calm the amygdala and the stress response in the body. So therefore, it can help, as far as we know so far, after 30 years of this technique being used, it can help for anything. Now, with the physical, I would add, and this is when Jenny sent me that initial email, and I went on to the founder's website and sort of taught myself the basics. I started with a physical issue, which was a stiff neck. I happened to be waking up with a stiff neck that morning. And it did go away, but it also came back because back then I didn't know what I know now. And with physical issues, while it's a great idea to start with the physical symptoms, I've got this tension headache, I can feel it behind my eyes. And you can even throw in, it's once a month, you know, I find that interesting. So you can throw that in. With physical pain, once your physical symptoms go down, it is useful to ask one of two questions or possibly both questions. If this pain had a message, what would it be?
Mm.
And the other question is, if there was an emotion in this pain, what would it be? And you can ask that as you're tapping. And you can just ask in your rational mind, right? Our rational mind through most of tapping rounds is parked somewhere in the corner of the room. You can just tap through the points and ask that question, you know, so your physical symptoms might have reduced down to a 4 or you know, wherever you started. If you started at an 8, it might have gone down to a 4. And then you can just say, I wonder what the emotion is in this pain that I'm experiencing every month. And you just tap. I'm open to finding out. I wonder what is this trying to tell me? I'm open mm-hmm. to finding out. And you just tap through the points as you're just asking the question. And then pay close attention to those random faint thoughts or memories that you think have nothing to do with it. In the 4 years that we've been doing this now, I know, because we've discussed this a lot, for neither Jenny nor I personally, nor for any of our clients ever, not once, that random thought was not related. In yeah. other words, it is always related.
Random is not random.
Mm-hmm. No, the memory comes up with, the memory center comes up with exactly the event or the memory or the thought that you need to get deeper with this issue.
Okay. So when you say be aware of the quote unquote random thought that comes up, are you meaning then and there in the next few minutes or over the rest of the day?
Both. Okay. Usually in this very moment. Mm-hmm. So you then, as an individual, when you're tapping on yourself, or for us as practitioners, when we're sitting with a client, we then they might say, I've just had this random thought come up when I was 12, you know, this thing in school happened. And then we could ask, so what feels stronger to you right now, where we started, the issue that we started with, or that event that has just popped up? And then we've got options. We can either just make a note of the event that's just popped up, but finish with what we're doing and bring that down to a 1 or 2 on the 0 to 10 scale. Or, and that is very often the case, this new event now feels a lot more relevant and stronger to the client or to myself when I'm tapping for myself. So I go with that. And then we start all over again. We start, even though I've just had this memory, and then very specifically, what about this memory? What stands out? Is it a visual? Is it an audio? Is it something we're kinesthetically feeling? Or maybe it's a thought or an emotion. And then we go with that. When we have brought that down to a 0, 1, or 2, then we check in with the original statement that the first thing that we tapped on. Usually that is now gone because they're related somehow.
What I'm loving about this is, well, my listeners know I love holistic health and well-being and things that we don't normally hear about on the regular radio. So this is great. And I also love that this is empowering. You ladies talk often about how it's a tool that everyone can have at the end of their fingertips. So people can literally go and self-teach and practice and do it. But similarly, if they've got an issue, it sounds like it's a good idea to have somebody who knows what they're doing coach you through it, because they can ask these questions, like you said, and then this new memory pops up and then we tap again. I feel like you really, especially if it's something heavy, you really want someone who knows what they're doing to help you. Is that so?
Jenny, 100%. But with trauma, and trauma, we mean both the universal capital T trauma as well as personal trauma. You know, that time when your teacher humiliated you when you were 6 years old and all that meant to your 6-year-old self. So either way, when there's trauma involved, you want to work with a practitioner. We work with practitioners, even though we are practitioners. You know, we do swap sessions with each other, but we also pay other practitioners, some of our mentors that we go to for some of the work. So when we work with clients, and it's a great idea. I mean, we both started self-tapping to kind of try it out and see what that does. And then we came to a point relatively quickly where we wanted to have some help. Once you've had sessions with a practitioner, and any practitioner you go to will encourage you to use this tool in between sessions. So after the first session, you know how to use it because you're learning it as you go. And then we both always encourage our clients to go off and do their own tapping for anything that comes up in between sessions and bring the heavy duty stuff to us and do it in sessions with a practitioner.
Yeah. And that sounds like, exactly. And that's what you want to be doing. You want to be doing it properly because it sounds like, you know, people can go through many, many years of their life with something big, whether it be a probably capital T thing, and they just kind of push it aside. It presents as physical ailments often, and then they can do nothing, or they can still go to counseling and still talk about it. But again, they might not feel like they're making any headway. What have you seen? Again, not breaking confidentiality, but whatever you're allowed to share. I'll go to you, Jenny, for this one. Can you share another story with us of a client, you know, somebody who has seen great shifts in their physical well-being or their mental health and well-being as a result of using this, what seems like quite a simple technique, but you want to do it properly, obviously.
Yeah, so I could share a story about a client who was having life-threatening asthma attacks at quite a late age of their life, that the rational mind, there's no way the rational mind would have linked that back to a house fire at the age of two. So that was incredibly life-changing for this woman, who was able to release the symptom of these life-threatening asthma attacks by us going back over five or six sessions. You know, she would have chemical things that would trigger her, but not all chemical things. And there would be all sorts of little random, seemingly unrelated things that would trigger these asthma attacks. Like the death of her ex-husband. And that went back to the house fire, where there was the sense of loss that she'd left a toy behind in the cot. So that's a very quick summary of, you know, the impact of all these little triggers that the brain is constantly firing in, trying to keep you safe. But the rational mind's never going to link that to a house fire at the age of two, which the tapping tool delivers the memory to you on a plate, which is amazing. But what I would like to share with you is something that happened to me last week. So this feels a little bit more relevant for everyday use for your listeners.
Great.
I was coming out of a driveway in my car, and as I was pulling out onto the road, I noticed a motorcyclist walking along the verge opposite me, like he was looking for something, and he sort of looked a bit odd. So I wound down my window and said, are you okay? Are you looking for something? And he took his helmet off and said, I think I just hit a dog, and I'm just checking to see it's okay. So I stopped my car immediately and went across the road to him. And as I was doing that, there was somebody else coming walking back, who had clearly seen what had happened, and she was coming back to check that he was okay as well. And I just checked in with him and said, you know, are you okay? And he was very convincing in saying that he was. So both the other woman and I left him, and I got back in my car and drove off. And I got 2 minutes down the road and I thought, he wasn't okay. So I turned my car around and went back. And sure enough, he's sitting on the side of the road with his motorcycle still. And I said to him, look, I'm an EFT practitioner. I'd really like to share this weird-looking technique with you, if you wouldn't mind tapping with me. So I tapped with him. And this beautiful young man, covered in tattoos, whatever that means, somebody that I would not normally be interacting with, but I just knew I had to. This was the right thing to do. And I just got him to tap on the side of the hand and then tap through the points as all this traffic was zooming past us. Mm-hmm. And I got him to remember what had happened. So as he was coming up towards the driveway, you know, I got him to, as he was tapping, explain, just talk me through what he saw, how he saw the dog, at what point he saw that it was going to come in front of him, how he felt in the body at the point he knew that it was going to come to, like he felt that panic in his body. I got him to feel into that as he was tapping with me, talking the whole time, explaining the colour of the dog, how did it come across the road, how he, you know, swerved, and the shaking that he was feeling in his body all the time as we were tapping. And, you know, 20 minutes in, he said, I can't remember what happened. I can't remember what happened now. And he said, I feel so calm. What else can this be used for? Now, my heart was so swollen with gratitude. And I want to cry now, because this is the impact that this tool can have on everyday events that people, these upsets that people have, that can be carried through time and affect them through time. And this young man,
yeah,
he told me it was his birthday. He was having a mental health day off work. And together we made a difference for him. And that was such a powerful experience. This is why Tanya and I want to get this tool out into the awareness, into the public arena, so people every day can be using this to calm their nervous system for things like this that happen.
It's empowerment. I mean, you empowered him by giving him that skill. And while it was a tragic scenario that brought the two of you together, it is quite fascinating. I'm like, well, thank you. You know, thank you. He can say thank you, universe, even though it's a horrible incident, that now he's got this skill that he can apply to his life and possibly share with others. It would have been so easy for you to help him in a traditional sense. Are you okay? Okay. You know, here's a, you know, first aid blanket or whatever, but to give him that skill, for you to have the courage to offer it to him, because sometimes we make assumptions about who will and will not be open to things that are a little bit woo, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All of that.
Yeah. And the fact that he, well, yeah, I guess you weren't surprised that it worked, it helped him, but the fact that he actually wanted more, can this be used for other things?
Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, he had some big decisions to make that afternoon, and I showed him how he could, I gave him a card with the instructions on it so he could actually go away and use it again. And he told me he was depressed. So I showed him how he could use it for that as well. He was really excited. It was just amazing.
Do you ladies have a card or a download, you know, something like that, that my listeners can get that's easy? I will put things on the replay page, but do you have something like that, that if they message us at 2057, we can send them a certain link or something?
Yeah,
we both have on our websites, if you include our websites on your link, which you probably will do anyway.
Yeah.
We each have a how to tap video on our websites.
Yes.
And we also, you know, on the subscribe button for our newsletter, and I can assure you that neither of us will swamp you with newsletters because that's not our strength.
Yeah.
But on the there is a free ebook that we put together as well, which explains how to do it. Yeah. And what I loved about Jenny, what you've just the story, it's such a beautiful story. And it's another example, you know, when I said beforehand, you can use it for what you can use it, right? This is decision making. You said you had some decisions coming up. One area that I know some friends of my daughters use it, they're in the early 20s, they're going through university, they're using it for stress exam, exam stress. And, you know, decision making, relationship issues, you know, that time when. And we all have these things that I still remember the way he rolled his eyes at me. And that's what you tap on, right? Oh, the way he shouted at me when blah, 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 that's what you tap on, you know, because, and this is something you mentioned with trauma, you know, people can go off and get counseling earlier. What we say when we present at conferences, because we are trauma-informed through evidence-based EFT, and trauma does not get encoded into our prefrontal cortex. It's not our rational mind that is getting flashbacks. It is actually encoded through our senses, through what we hear, what we feel, what we see, what we taste and smell as well. They're usually a little bit underneath the layer, but sometimes they can be on the surface. And through tapping, which is a somatic modality, we can release what is in our body through our senses. Our rational mind, it's useful to have cognitive understandings. I'm behaving this way in relationships because rah, rah, rah happened with my parents. That is useful, but it doesn't necessarily make us change the behavior.
That's right.
So we need to release what is in our physical system because it's come into our physical system through our senses. And then focusing on that, as Jenny did with the young man on the bike, he saw the dog, the moment of impact, what he felt in his body. That's why he was calm 20 minutes later and said, I can't remember the incident. What he probably means, he knows that the incidents happened, but he can't, suddenly people can't bring up that image anymore. Mm. They can't bring up the feeling anymore because it's released. There's this whole process, actually it's got a fancy name, it's called the memory reconciliation process. And what happens is that our brain, until the moment we tap on something, had a model. You know, say for example you've got a phobia on something, then that thing that you've got a phobia on in Mawa brain means stress, means anxiety, means, you know, freak out. But because we're tapping and now we're bringing to mind the topic of our phobia, even though I've got this XYZ phobia, I accept myself. And then we start tapping through what it is that is making us phobic about this. And I'm consciously not mentioning any details in case someone has got a phobia. Then we just tap through that. And it's nearly like the brain kind of goes kind of like, like the computers when they shut down in movies, they kind of go like this. And it's like, oh, so now I'm feeling calm while I'm thinking about all these aspects of my phobia. Mm-hmm. Oh, so maybe that XYZ no longer means panic. It means calm. So phobias can sometimes be released within one session that people have had for 20 years because the brain just reconciliates and makes a new model, which seems instantly. There is a window of 3 to 5 hours after an intense session where we say, you know, if it was a relationship issue with your ex-partner that we've tapped on, don't go and call him or her in the next three to 5 hours. There's a sort of 3 to 5 hours where the brain makes this new model. And ideally people go to sleep or have a rest or just take it easy. Just be kind to yourself is what we often say for the rest of the day. And the next morning they wake up and they just feel lighter. And because it's released from the body, they suddenly begin making different choices. You know, I'm acting differently around that person. One area which might be interesting to most human beings is it works really fantastically for food cravings. There has been 5 trials at Bond University. The last one was a pilot program involving fMRI machine. And we tap on what it is that we love about this particular food. And then it might just be the physical aspects of the food, you know, those crunchy chips, that salty flavor, whatever it is. And then there might be a memory or an emotion that comes up with that as well. And then we tap it down. I have tapped on crisps or chips as a food craving. And I have literally not eaten them for 2 years since I've tapped on them. And that was one of the foods that I dislike now. I've also tapped on hazelnut and milk chocolate, and I still like that, but it no longer controls me in any way. I can have 2 pieces and be done with it. So there can be slightly different outcomes, but all of them put me into control. So, and with food cravings, you know, most people tap on what, 3, 4, maybe 6 that bothers them, you know, is a problem for them, or an alcohol, you know, people want to choose when they have 1 glass of wine rather than having to have 2 each night. So those are the kind of things that we can work on with people as well.
Well, thank you for looping back to that, because that's something that Jenny mentioned in her backstory. And I think a lot of people are going to relate to that. People have either what you mentioned, phobias or food cravings, and knowing that this is a pathway that sounds like it doesn't actually take a long time, which I think is great. It can be 1 session. It might need 6, but it sounds like it can be quite quick. I wanted to ask you, Jenny, you're welcome to comment on that, but the question I've got for you is around manifesting, because I know you often will use EFT to help people to manifest. Mm-hmm. Comment on that.
Yeah. So manifesting, as I understand it in my own experience, is vivid imagination to the point where you believe it implicitly. And what we know with EFT is it's the meaning that we're giving the event that becomes the event. So what I understand from my own manifestations, and I can put farming in there, even though I was doing it unconsciously for all those years, I was very clearly plugging in a meaning. There was no question. I was plugging in the feeling that I wanted to feel that took me on that path. So manifestation really does require a very vivid image of what you want to achieve. With it must be a felt image. So you must feel the desired feeling that you want to feel. Even if you can't imagine it, you must feel what you want to feel having that manifestation. So where does EFT fit into this? Because, 2 ways. Because EFT is a calming technique, So it can, if you use EFT before you get into, to get you into a calm state so that you can vividly imagine what it is that you want, that's one way to use EFT. So it's about state management, getting you into that calm state. The second way that we use EFT with manifesting is you might have this goal or this vivid image that you want to achieve, but there's this resistance, there's this something, this old pattern running in the background, this resistance that you can't quite push past. The logical mind certainly can't push past it because it's a subconscious pattern or program that's running in the background. And that's where EFT comes in, to remove the resistance. The yes, I want to achieve this, and then it's the yes, but I'm not good enough, or, you know, the limiting beliefs, those old patterns that come usually from childhood that stop the goal or stop you from achieving that goal because that subconscious is driving the show. And so EFT can be used to pull old belief patterns, limiting beliefs, pull them apart so that people can then go on to achieve these inspiring goals. And man, it's so exciting to see people who are real go-getters come and release those limiting beliefs and patterns and then go on to do amazing things with other people, and that massive ripple effect, that it's just exciting. It's just so exciting.
Oh, I wish everyone could see her face right now. You are just glowing, Jenny. Oh my goodness. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave Show. I'm talking today to Tanya Blinkhorn and Jenny Malcolm. We're talking about stress reduction and looking at clinical emotional freedom technique, EFT, also known as tapping. For those of you that have been listening, we would love to know what's resonating for you. Have you tried EFT? If so, what habits, or maybe food cravings or phobias or body pain issues, has it supported you with? You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. We're coming to the end of the show. I'm going to ask you, ladies, the Up Your Brave question. If you could truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do? We'll go to Tanya.
Well, I find there is something else that I could still do in the last few months remaining. But I feel we really did up our brave early this year because it was in April, I think, Jenny, when we talked, when we were on a Zoom call, and I said to Jenny, you know, I so want to spread this, the word about this tool. And I love the one-on-one work because that's where we get really deep, meaningful change. And, but if we could speak at conferences where we have more people in the room, and Jenny very nonchalantly said, oh, I've just had an email from the Australasian Lifestyle Medicine Conference in Adelaide. I don't even know why I'm on the email list. And they're looking for speakers.
Oh my goodness.
And my heart went boom, boom, boom. And I thought, oh, I must talk about that. We must talk there. And my gut was going, no, don't do that. You know, so I knew I had to follow my heart and calm my gut down. Luckily, I've got a technique to do that. And so that we just applied and we were accepted. We spoke there in July. We did a lot of tapping leading up to that because we're both really nervous. And we had 100 people in the room. There were doctors, nurses, coaches, and they were all super open, and it was amazing. Their curiosity was really amazing. And I do believe that as the old paradigms are falling away, more and more people within the system are realizing this isn't working, or not all of this is working. We need to find other things, additional things. And we have since spoken at the psychology conference, and we're in the process of applying to be speakers in other situations. That was me for 2024. What about you, Jenny?
Well, there's something magical about collaboration and what I like to call co-opetition, right? When you find one or two people that actually do the same thing, they would normally consider themselves competition and they would probably walk in the other direction. But in my world, when I meet someone who does what I do, I'm like, ooh, I lean in. I want to collaborate or co-opetate with them, because we all have our unique ways of doing things. And really, we all want the same thing. We want people to be more healthy, more empowered, more better equipped. So I love the fact that you go and you're speaking together as a dynamic duo. Yes. What about you, Jenny, if you were to up your brave for the remaining months of 2024?
Yeah, and I love that you've mentioned that, because Tanya and I were just talking the other day that we believe together we are 1 + 1 = 3. collaboration, you know, you look in nature and nature is not independent. Everything, including us, we're all interdependent. We all rely on each other to get ahead. And the only way I see that we get ahead is to collaborate. And yeah, Tanya and I set that very big goal, and it was very scary, and we pushed through it. That's the authentic part, using the tool, even although nobody else knew that that's what we'd done, in order to speak at those big Australasian events. And I don't know, doesn't feel like anything much could go beyond that. We're just open. We are so open to what next, and bring it on, dish it up to us. And yeah, let's see how far we can take this.
And the celebrating also the fact that there were doctors and nurses, so allopathic medicine, in the room, and they're actually saying, we want to learn from you. Tell us, what is it that we haven't been shown? Well, there's actually a lot that they haven't been shown, and I'm happy that they're asking. So good on you, ladies. That's so amazing. All right, ladies, I'd love to ask you, because I know people will be wondering how to get in touch. What is coming up for you in the coming months, and how can people follow you on the socials or reach out to your website?
Well, what's coming up for us, as I said earlier, we both really like our one-on-one work. That's where we're learning the most. And this is also where this really deep change can happen for an individual. We love talking in conferences, because we've got a lot of people in one room that we can ignite their curiosity about this tool. But we also want to have an intermediate, you know, between the big group and the one-on-one. And so we're putting together a personal wellness program for the workplace, where there might be 20 people in the room, where we can't go quite as deep as what we do with one-on-one, but we are teaching them the tool. At the moment, we're kind of thinking 4 to 6 hours, so it's an actual work day for most people. And topics that could be covered is public speaking, apparently is one of the, you know, number one fears for every human being. So public speaking, just general stress management, sleep issues, you know, those kind of things. So we're basically, we've started working, putting this together. We definitely want it finished in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So it's available at the beginning of the new year. I know that a lot of the big corporate companies, you know, like the big four, they have new graduates starting at the beginning of the year. I know my daughter works for one of them, how stressed she was for the whole first year. You know, she said to me when she started, we said to her, how long do you think it will take you to settle in? And she said, oh, 3 to 9 weeks or so. And it was the whole year. You know, she was stressed the whole year because everything is new. So giving new graduates that kind of tool would be amazing. So that's what we're working on at the moment.
I think that's brilliant. You're giving them the foundation. So if anyone's listening and you work for a company, or you know someone who knows someone, I think this is the power of community. And that's what we do on the Up Your Brave show. I'm a super connector myself. So sometimes it's just a matter of knowing who's in need and knowing who can fill that gap. So it sounds like an amazing personal wellness program that you're putting together. Where can people find you? What is the website? What are the social media places that you are on?
Okay, so can I just add to that, Natalie, as well? If people are interested for us to speak, you know, even it doesn't have to be 100 people in the room, you know, but to have, if they've got an event that they want us to speak at, we'd be so interested in doing that, because we obviously want to really spread the word about this tool. For myself, my website is Tanya with a J. I grew up in Germany. That's how we spell Tanya. And blinkhorn.co.nz. And on the website are some free resources, as I mentioned before, a how to tap video, and they can connect through that. I am not on social media. So the website is really the best place. I am officially on LinkedIn, but I'm not really using it. So yeah, I'm not using social media. That's me.
Okay. Well, people can find that on the website. We will put the link on the replay page as well. What about for you, Jenny? How can people reach you?
Yes, I have a website too, jennymalcolm.co.nz. And I can be reached by email, jenny@jennymalcolm.co.nz. And I am on Facebook under Jenny Malcolm and under Vision Vitality.
Ooh, I love that name.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Again, so we will put those links on the replay page. Everybody, if you're listening to this and you want to share this episode with a friend, that's one of the best ways you can help not only the radio station, but also helping the people that get to listen to it, or maybe they missed hearing about it. Some people, believe it or not, do not even know about Reality Check Radio. So if you're listening to this, please go ahead and share either on your socials or with a specific friend in need. If you think this can help, that's what we're here for. Amazing. Ladies, I'd love to go to each of you just to wrap things up. Is there anything else you'd love to share with our listeners today? What do you feel like Kiwis need to hear? What else would you like us to know before we go? Tanya.
I think for me, it would be coming all the way back to the very beginning. You know, when we had Jenny spoke about desires or goals, I think one of the purpose of being unhappy or dissatisfied in a job or relationship or in a situation in life is in general is because our heart knows that there's more for us. And so that would be my key message is we are in this society, we are so trained and taught to listen to our brain, but our brain knows relatively little in comparison with our heart. And not wanting to open a whole other box, but the longest nerve in the body is the vagal nerve, and it informs the brain. 80% of the communication in the vagal nerve goes from our soma, from our body up to our brain through our heart. And that says a lot. So I think if you have a desire or you feel there is more to life or more to this, you know, what you can do, follow that. That is your starting point. And don't expect it to be a linear journey. At least for me, it wasn't. But you know what Jenny said with that visual imagination, feel what it would feel like if you were at this desired point or with that desired person or in the desired job or whatever it is. And our brain doesn't know the difference between real and not real. So when we can feel it, we can be it. So follow your heart.
Beautiful. What about you, Jenny?
That was beautiful. Beautifully said. Anything else? Yes, there is. I would like to let your listeners know that if they do, and I would invite them to, we would encourage them to have a go with EFT tapping. And feel for yourself how it works. The thing I would like to really add in is that the research shows very, very clearly that the tapping on these eight clinical points plus the side of the hand are the active ingredient. So if you feel overwhelmed or if it feels like it's too much, keep tapping. Mm-hmm. That is the one message, keep tapping. Because if you keep tapping, just keep tapping around and around and around, even if you just stay on one of those eight points, just keep tapping, because eventually that overwhelm, the emotion will go away. So sometimes when we start tapping, we don't know what we're going to open up, and sometimes we can feel flooded or overwhelmed with emotion. Please, please keep tapping, because tapping is the active ingredient. That's the thing that's going to release whatever's decided it's ready to come up. Please just keep tapping. And one final thing I'd like to throw in, which will be, I think, in the show notes as well, is there's some really, really simple and clear research from both EFT International and Dr. Peter Stapleton at Bond University, which we've given the links to, and they're really worthwhile to go in and have a look and see the types of things that have been researched and studied.
Well, you've given us a powerful tool today. You've reminded some listeners, because many will have heard of it before, but oh yeah, that's right. I've been meaning to look into that. And then for some listeners, it will be brand new. And I love to bring new ideas and encourage people, like you said, invite them to give it a go and keep tapping. So thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. It was amazing. Great fun.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much.
So good. And thank you, everyone. Keep tapping, give it a go, and let us know how you get on. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.